So we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 78, the killing of Dandavaka, Viduratha, and Dromaharsha. This chapter relates how Lord Krishna killed Dandavaka and Viduratha, visited Vrindavana, and then returned to Dwaraka. It also describes how Lord Baladev killed the offensive Dromaharsana Sutta, intent upon evading the death of his friend Shalva. Dantavakra appeared in the battlefield with club in hand. Lord Krishna took up his own club and came before him. Dantavakra then insulted the Lord with harsh words and struck him a terrific blow on the head. Without budging in the slightest, Lord Krishna bludgeoned Dantavakra's chest, scattering his heart. Dantavakra had a brother named Viduratha, and he became distraught at Dantavakra's death. Taking up his sword, Viduratha confronted Lord Krishna. But the Lord cut off Vidurata's head with his Sudarshana disc. Lord Krishna then visited Vrindavana for 2 months, and then finally he returned to Dwaraka. When Lord Baladev heard that the Pandavas and Kauravas were about to go to war, in order to remain neutral, he left Dwaraka on the pretext of going on pilgrimage. The Lord bathed in the sacred places such as Prabhasa, Tritakupa, and Vishala, and eventually he came to the holy Naimisharanya forest, where greatest sages were performing an extended fire sacrifice. While being worshipped by the assembled sages and offered a seat of honor, the Lord noticed that Dromaharsana Sutta sitting in the speaker's seat had failed to stand in deference to him. Greatly angered by this offense, Lord Balaram killed Dromaharsana by touching him with the tip of a blade of kusha grass. The assembled sages were disturbed by what Lord Baladev had done, and they said to him, "You have unknowingly killed a Brahmana. Therefore, even though you are above the Vedic injunctions, we request you to set a perfect example for the general populace by atoning for this sin." Then Sri Baladev, following the Vedic maxim that one's son takes birth as one's own self, granted to Dromaharsana's son Ugrashrava the position of speaker of the Puranas, and in accordance with the sage's desire, he promised Ugrashrava a long life with unfailing sensory capacity. Wanting to do something more for the sages, Lord Baladev promised to kill the demon named Balvala, who had been polluting the sacrificial arena. Finally, on the sage's advice, he agreed to go on a year-long pilgrimage of all the holy places of India. Okay. Text number 1 and 2?
4.
5. Okay. So, text number 5. Tvam matuleyo
nah Krishnam.
Tvam matuleya nah Krishna,
Mitradrun mam jigam sasi,
Atastvam gadaya manda,
Hanishye vajra kalpayam,
Tvam,
you, Matuleyaha.
Maternal cousin.
Nah.
Our.
Krishna.
O Krishna.
Mitra.
To my friends.
Druk.
Who have committed violence.
Mam.
Me.
Jigamsasi.
You wish to kill.
Ataha.
Therefore.
Tvam.
You.
Gadaya.
With my club.
Manda.
O fool.
Hanishye.
I will kill.
Vajrakalpaya.
Like a thunderbolt.
Like a
thunderbolt. Okay, so a little bit translation from the beginning of the chapter. Verses 1 and 2. Shukadeva Goswami said, acting out of friendship for Shishupal, Shalva and Pondraka, who had all passed to the next world, the wicked Dantavakra appeared on the battlefield in a great rage, O king, all alone on foot and wielding a club in his hand. The mighty warrior shook the earth with his footsteps. Text number 3. Seeing Dantavakra approach, Lord Krishna quickly picked up his club, jumped down from his chariot, and stopped his advancing opponent just as the shore holds back the ocean. Purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, when Krishna appeared before Dantavakra, his heroic march was immediately stopped, just as the great furious waves of the ocean are stopped by the beach. Text number 4. Raising his club, the reckless king of Karusha said to Lord Mukunda, "What luck, what luck, to have you come before me today." Purport. Srila Siddhartha Swami explains that after having waited for 3 lifetimes, Dantavakra, formerly a gatekeeper in Vaikuntha, could now return to the spiritual world. Therefore, the transcendental meaning of this statement is, how fortunate I am today, I can return to my constitutional position in the spiritual world. In the next verse, Dantavakra will refer to Krishna as Matuleya, a maternal cousin. Dantavakra's mother, Shruta Shrava, was the sister of Krishna's father, Vasudeva. And today's verse, Dantavakra continuing insulting Lord Krishna. "You are our maternal cousin, Krishna, but you committed violence against my friends, and now you want to kill me also. Therefore, fool, I will kill you with my thunderbolt club." Purport. The Acharyas have given the following alternative grammatical division of the third line of this verse. Atastvam gadaya amanda. In which case Dandavakra says, "My dear Lord Krishna, you are amanda, not foolish, and therefore with your powerful club you will now send me back home, back to Godhead." This is the inner meaning of this verse. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Goravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Adesha Tarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Ajalamita Bujo Kanakavadata Sankirtanai Kapitar Okumalataksi Swambarundi Javarugadharma Palavande Jagat Priya Karo Karanavatara and Tak Pradishima Mavachamas Sanjeeva Tekila Shakti Daraswadam Nanyam Shahas the Charanas Ravanat Pagad and Pranana Mavagavatai Purusha Hare Krishna. Please forgive me for my for being late. Shri Radha Lanishwara ki jai, Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadramaya ki jai. So, I will try to speak a few words about this story of Srimad Bhagavatam, which has a very deep significance for us Gaudiya Vaishnavas. The first look, it's just, you know, Krishna is killing another demon and he killed so many of them. And what is so special about this Dantavakra? But in reality, Dantavakra and his brother Viduradha is the last demons whom Krishna killed in this earth. And after killing them, as it is said in the introduction to this chapter, he returned to Vrindavan. Of course, Krishna, from the very beginning when he left Vrindavan, when he was just 11-year-old boy, when Akrura came to Vrindavan to take him to Mathura, upon the request of King Kamsa, Krishna promised, I will return. Very soon I will return. And then, you know, some time passed and he sent his friend Uddhava to Vrindavan, still from Mathura. And Uddhava brought the message to Gopis, very soon I will return. He brought a letter to his father and mother. But Krishna says, very soon I will return. And then years passed. And then Balaram came to Vrindavan. Balaram was very disturbed. He said, you promised, you have to return. But Krishna says, no, I still have some business to do. And Balaram came to Vrindavan. And again he brought a message from Krishna. Very soon he will come. He will come. And years passed by. And then finally all the inhabitants of Vrindavan came to Kurukshetra on the occasion of solar eclipse. And they met personally with Krishna after so many years. And Krishna says, very soon. Really very soon. I just need to kill a few more demons and then I will come. Anyway, he did return. Even though in Srimad Bhagavatam there is no clear description how Krishna returned in Vrindavan. Jiva Goswami explains that actually the whole remaining part of Srimad Bhagavatam after Krishna left Vrindavan is there to build our expectation when Krishna will return, when he will return. Just to build our sense of separation from Krishna. Actually, we are as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, for us, the most important part of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is the loving relationship between the Lord and His loving devotees in Vrindavan. Nothing else. Everything else is just the preparation for this culmination of the real relationship between the Lord and the devotees. We are suffering in this world because of the simple reason, because we don't have the personal relationship with the Lord. We are being His parts and parcels, and being separated from Him always feel some lacking within our heart. And until this relationship are reestablished, this lacking, this emptiness in the heart will remain. And this emptiness in the heart manifests in, in multitude of different ways, in thousands and thousands of different ways, primarily as the envy was in the heart. You know, we always feel something is lacking, something is wrong with my life. And then we feel, if I only had this, I would be happy. And all these desires, kama and krodha and lobha and moha and matsarya, ultimately all these things are a result of the lacking of personal relationship. That we don't feel that Krishna is there. And somehow or other we try to fill up the gap, fill up the emptiness within our heart, which is naturally there because Krishna is not there, by some other material means. And because of this, there are six enemies which are there in our heart, starting from kama. Kama, lust, krodha, anger, lobha, greed, moha, illusion, mada, pride, intoxication, and ultimately envy, matsarya. You know, this all the manifestation, subtle or gross manifestation of the lacking of the personal relationship with the Lord. And unless and until we reestablish this relationship with the Lord, this emptiness will push us, will force us to commit sinful activities in this world, and we will remain in this world. You know, we will remain envious and lusty in this world, and we will do some sort of sinful activities, being attached to the mere shadow of real relationship with the Lord. So for us, this whole description in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is the saving grace and is the real meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Ultimately, we have to feel that Krishna is the person, loving person, and we have to feel that how am I still doing here in this world without having real relationship with the Lord? And why this particular, and as I said, when Krishna left Vrindavan, Srila Jiva Goswami explains that Maharaja Parikshit, he always, his intention, when he will return, and Shukadev Goswami tells all this story and that story and that story, and Krishna doesn't return. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no clear description how Krishna goes back to Vraj. But luckily for us, our great acharyas of our line, especially Srila Jiva Goswami, explain this mystery, which is very closely connected with this amazing pastime, which is being described in this 78th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. They fill the gap which is there in Srimad Bhagavatam by some reason, and they explained why specifically Shukadev Goswami didn't want to tell this pastime to Maharaja Parikshit. But they fill the gap which is in the description of Srimad Bhagavatam by taking the information from Padma Puran. And the information from Padma Puran is very important for us to understand in this chapter. There will be a long purport where this information from Padma Puran will be explained in the future. And I will only briefly tell what is missing in these verses of Srimad Bhagavatam by taking this explanation of our acharyas, specifically, primarily by Srila Jiva Goswami. But before that, I wanted to tell also that Once I heard from Sivaram Maharaj, and knowing, I've never seen it anywhere else, but knowing how thorough Sivaram Maharaj is, we can assume that this is a very authoritative statement, that six demons killed by Krishna in his different avatars. Six demons in the form of which Jaya and Vijaya appeared in this world. They are allegorical manifestation, not allegorical in the sense, they are real demons, but each and every one of them is a manifestation of the six different enemies within the heart of the living entity. We already mentioned this famous list of six enemies, six real problems which we have. Usually our understanding is that, he's the problem and she is the problem, or temple president is the problem, or prime minister is the problem, or the government is the problem, or economic crisis is the problem. But this is not the problem. The real problem is kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada and matsarya, the six enemies within the heart. Satru was in our heart, Sadripu was in the heart of every living entity, which is a result of the empty space which is there, lack of personal relationship with the Lord. And Srila Sivaram Maharaj explained that the first demon killed by Krishna is Hiranyaksha. And Hiranyaksha obviously manifests greed. Hiranyaksha means, the one who has golden eyes, or one who has gold in his eyes. The greed means, I only see gold everywhere. I only see how I can get something from somebody or whatever. This is Hiranyaksha, and this is the first demonic quality from which the host of all other demonic qualities appears within our heart. And this demonic quality, the thirst for material enjoyment, has to be killed first. It's not without the reason that the sequence of these manifestations of these six mighty demons is of great significance for us. So the beginning of our spiritual journey before we can meet Krishna is that we really have to understand that this material enjoyment, or the greed for material enjoyment which is there, will not make us happy. That no matter how much material enjoyment we have, it's not going to, or how much money we have, because money is just manifestation of the opportunities which we have for material enjoyment. We have to understand that this is not something which we have to really strive for in our life. This is Hiranyaksha. He is obviously greed for money as the foundation of our material existence. We all know we need money, this is something real. Hiranyakashipu, and the second demon is the manifestation of pride, mada. Hiranyakashipu, we know he was a very proud fellow, and he was ruling all over the world, and he
basically forced everyone to worship him. And when the pride is a problem, let's not get into so much details about these demons. We all know they are our best friends living in our heart. So we have greed, and greed is very important quality, right? How we can live without greed? Without greed, we're good for nothing. Then Hiranyakashipu is there, pride is there within our heart. And then Kumbhakarna is there. Kumbhakarna is the next demon killed by Lord Ram. And Kumbhakarna is obviously moha, illusion. And then, of course, Ravana is there, and Ravana is kama, manifestation of insatiable lust within our heart. The lust which ultimately forced Ravana to encroach the eternal wife of Lord Ramachandra to kidnap Sita. And then we have Shishupal, and Shishupal, there is no need to explain it. He is the manifestation of envy within the heart. You know, he's an envious fellow, and he has this, you know, total, complete burning envy against Lord Krishna. You know, when we're ready to, you know, lodge all the complaints against him. And then finally, Dantavakra, the remaining ripu, the remaining enemy within our heart is anger. And it's interesting that we start the initial problem within our heart is greed, and it has to be finished first. But the last remaining problem is anger, Dantavakra. Literally, Dantavakra means the one who has crooked teeth. You know, when we are really angry, when the dog is angry, you know, he shows his claws, you know, his whatever it's called, you know, crooked teeth. This crooked teeth, when we are really, you know, showing our anger, is actually the last enemy. And, you know, the very fact that Lord Krishna kills Dantavakra last and then goes to Vrindavan and meets with his devotees is also of great significance, because it means that we will be able to have personal relationship with Lord Krishna only when Lord Krishna, in the form of his holy name, kills the anger within our heart. And anger, you know, anger does not necessarily mean that you become outraged and but anger, when you're dissatisfied, when you're just, when you have this this feeling that something is wrong, you know, Krishna is this, he doesn't know what he's doing with me, you know. Which we have, which we often have. It may manifest in a very, you know, spectacular form, like in this case of Dantavakra, when he's really angry with Krishna, wants to kill him. But it may manifest in a much more subtle ways in our heart, when we are just rejecting what is happening with me. We are not happy with what is happening with me. We think that Krishna, he doesn't know what he is doing, you know, that he is doing something really wrong. And this is the very subtle manifestation of this problem, which basically is a manifestation of much more subtle problem, which is there within our heart, desire to be the Krishna, to be in the center, you know. Why are we angry when something goes not our way? You know, and we're always angry when something goes not our way. We may be, you know, very senior devotees. We may be chanting very diligently our 16 rounds,
performing at the mouth, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But when something goes wrong against our will, you know, phew, little Dantavakra living within our heart shows his face and says, yes, this is not right. This is not good. I don't like it. You know, this very fact, I don't like it. This very simple formula, which is very, you know, dear to our heart, is Dantavakra. And unless and until we really finish with this sort of attitude, which is not easy, we will not be able to meet with Krishna. We actually have to invite Krishna and to really beg Krishna. Krishna, please come to our heart. Don't forget your Komadaki club. There is some little Dantavakra living there. Please smash him. Smash his heart heavily with your Komadaki club, because otherwise this little Dantavakra will always try to smash you. You know, in these verses we will see, in the verses to come and of this chapter, we will see how Dantavakra will try to kill Krishna, ultimately. So, it's amazing that even sometimes we say that envy is the last enemy. Sometimes we say that this is the root cause of everything. But here we can see that this envy and anger, they are together. And the very last is Dantavakra, the anger. You know, envy is definitely a very staunch demoniac quality. We may be free from karma to a greater extent. We may be free from greed to a greater extent, even from moha, illusion, and from even pride, but still some subtle envy will be there. Subtle envy means, you know, I don't, you know, yes. This envy and anger, why they are lost? Because this is the manifestation of our desire to be in the center, the subtle desire to be Krishna. And Krishna means to be in the center, it means that I am the best. Everyone should see me, and you know, here as devotees, envy manifest. I'm the best devotee. Don't you know this? I'm the best. And if you try to doubt it, you know, or if you try to push me out of the center, you know, and be in the center yourself, I will show you how, you know, who is the best. You know, I'm the best. And the anger is that something goes wrong, not the way I want. This I, self-centeredness, egocentric attitude which is there, is a very, very serious and very important demoniac quality which we have. This is the manifestation of our desire to be God. And unless we finish with these subtleties within our heart, unless we change this thing into the desire to serve the Lord, we will remain in this material world, continuing manifesting our anger and envy. So we really have to invite Lord Krishna for this. But anyway, this is what I wanted to say in the beginning, and in the end I will say, well, I have to end within 4 minutes. Anyway, I'll tell little pastime in between, and at the end I will try to say what we're supposed to do to get rid of these demons, which are important demons. And we really have to know how these demons look within our heart to finish
them off, or at least to invite Krishna to finish them off. So just to give justice to these verses of Srimad Bhagavatam and to explain the whole story, to complete the whole story, you know, Dantavakra was a very good friend of Shishupal. What we can see in Srimad Bhagavatam, that even demons have a very close and intimate relationship with each other. Sometimes we as devotees don't have any friends. Even demons in Srimad Bhagavatam are sometimes better than us. You know, this Shishupal, he had great friends and supporters who were ready to sacrifice their life for him. We should ask ourselves, are we ready to sacrifice our life for somebody else? I think that the answer will be most probably negative. But in case of this Dantavakra, when he heard about the death of Shishupal, he became so completely, totally morose. Srila Jiva Goswami explaining his sentiments or his emotions when he heard that Shishupal was finished. You know, at that time, Dantavakra was not in the assembly, in the Rajasuya, in the assembly of the kings who came to Rajasuya sacrifice of King Yudhishthir. Why? Because he was being busy performing some austerities. He was doing tapasya to become very powerful and ultimately fight with Krishna. So he couldn't come to this Rajasuya sacrifice. But Narada Muni very mercifully informed him, you know, your friend Shishupal is dead. And Lord Krishna took his chakra, Sudarshan chakra, with his finger and he just smashed his head. So Dantavakra, Srila Jiva Goswami says, Dantavakra, when he heard about the death of his dear friend Shishupal, he became like a chariot with two wheels broken. He was just immobilized. You know, when the chariot, when the two wheels of the chariot are broken, you know, the chariot cannot move anywhere. He became paralyzed basically because of grief. He was really, really totally, completely immersed with his grief, and he decided to do this austerity with the renewed strength, with the renewed determination, and he was worshipping Lord Shiva. The details are not there in the Puranas, what kind of austerity he was doing, and even whom he was worshipping, but usually demons to obtain the strength, they worship Lord Shiva. So Dantavakra was worshipping most probably Lord Shiva with renewed strength and determination, trying to find the ways how to avenge the death of Shishupal. And in the meantime, again, Narada Muni comes and says, well, my dear Dantavakra, do you know that Shalva is dead? That Krishna killed Shalva. Dantavakra was really completely, totally, and Poundraka is dead. So Dantavakra, he became really, you know, raging with anger. Srila Jiva Goswami says that anger was like a burning within his heart, like a pyre, like a fire on which you put the dead body. And Srila Jiva Goswami says that ultimately this is the fire of this anger will be the pyre for this Dantavakra. He will be burned by this, by the fire of this anger against Krishna. So he was performing these austerities, and ultimately he got a boon that he will be the best, absolutely the best club fighter. That
nobody will be able to fight against him with the club. And he became very confident, and he thought, you know, how shall I get Krishna? Because he thought this is the demonic mentality. He thought that Lord Krishna killed Shishupal by his Sudarshana Chakra. If I only, and you know, he couldn't only kill Shishupal with Sudarshana Chakra, and he killed Shalva in the battlefield because the army of Yadavas was there and because Lord Balaram was there. You know, if I can only get Lord Krishna alone, without his Sudarshana Chakra, and if I can only get him to fight with me one by one with clubs, oh, definitely I will kill him. I just need this little adjustment. Somehow or other I have to get him out of Dwaraka. And if he's alone without Balaram and all this army, and if he's not in his chariot, and if his Sudarshana Chakra is somewhere else, and if he's with this club, you know, I will definitely kill him. And therefore, he gets a demonic plan. He goes to Mathura. And he thinks that if I am there in Mathura, and Mathura is very dear to Lord Krishna, you know, if I can somehow or other, and if Krishna finds out that I am in Mathura, he will come here. And of course, you know, Narada Muni is there. He is very mercifully arranging all these beautiful pastimes. He goes to Dantavakra and he says, Shalva is dead, and Pondraka is dead, and Shishupal is dead. You perform your austerities. And then he goes to Lord Krishna and he says, Dantavakra is in Mathura. He's waiting for you with his club. And unknowing to him, anyone else, because this is not even described in Srimad Bhagavatam, because from the description which Shukadeva Goswami gives in Srimad Bhagavatam, it appears that Dantavakra came to Dwaraka. But it's not really true. You know, reconciling the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam and the statements of Padma Purana, we can understand that Krishna just made a show that he goes back to Dwaraka from the battlefield where he killed Shalva. But instead of this, he went to the north with Daruka, and his chariot disappeared, and he went to Mathura. Daruka took him by the, you know, by the sky, because his chariot could travel with the speed of the mind. And by the speed of the mind, he arrived to Mathura with Daruka, and nobody knew this. Only later, when he returned to Dwaraka, Daruka, it's again explained by Srila Jiva Goswami in his Gopal Champu, Daruka, he informed, you know what, we went to Mathura and we killed all these guys, and then we went to Vrindavan and we spent two nice months in Vrindavan with Krishna. So he goes to Mathura, and Dantavakra at that moment, he is coming from the gates of Mathura. Still, to confirm this, Srila Jiva Goswami mentions that to this day, there is a village which is called Datiha. And this village is on the western, from the western side of Mathura, from the western gate of Mathura. This is the direction from which Krishna came from Dwaraka, from the west, to Mathura. And Datiha means Dantavakraha. You know, this is the corrupt version of Dantavakraha, the place where Dantavakra was killed. So to this date, you know, the memory of the people is still there, that the village is still there. And Krishna meets Dantavakra at the western gate. And Dantavakra, as we see here, he became very, I mean, he's very happy. Finally, you're here. You came here to Mathura. You are alone. Balaram is not with you. And, you know, Dantavakra, he goes by foot
And by the rule of conduct, by the rule of Kshatriyas, Krishna also leaves his chariot, and Dantavakra is so happy. Dantavakra is really happy. You know, now I will fight with him with my club. And Krishna with his Komodaki club. And they started fighting with him. Of course, first Dantavakra hurls insults against Krishna, insult after insult. And you know, the acharyas, they will explain that ultimately he is praising Krishna. You know, oh Krishna, very nice, you came here, you are so clever, you will kill me today and you will send me back to Vaikuntha. I'm so sick and tired being in this material world for three lifetimes. I'm waiting when you will send me back to Vaikuntha. This is the inner meaning. But in reality, he's demonic. He's angry with Krishna. He wants to kill him. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, this fight is very shortly described. But in Padma Purana, it is said that they were fighting with Krishna day and night. It was a severe battle. And it is said here in Srimad Bhagavatam that first, initially, or maybe not the first, but anyway, at one point, Dantavakra, he smashed his head, his club on Krishna's head, severely. And Krishna, he was standing there very happily smiling. Very, very nice. You know, I wanted to scratch my head. Thank you very much for doing it for me. You know, nothing much happened to him. You know, with all his might, he's smashing his club on his Krishna's head. And Krishna, yeah, right. Very nice. And ultimately, this is the last blow. He takes his Komodaki. And Srila Jiva Goswami, he specifically says that it was not a long battle, just one day and one night, because Krishna was in a hurry. He wanted to go to Vrindavan. He didn't want to, you know, to mess with this Dantavakra for too long, you know. He wanted, he had this eagerness within the heart. He wanted to finish him off as soon as possible, as quickly as possible, and cross Yamuna River and see Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and everyone else, and you know, and that's what he will do when he will smash. So Krishna takes his Komodaki club after Dantavakra smashed his club upon Krishna's head, and he just, you know, he beats him on the chest, and his chest breaks open, and by the Komodaki club he just breaks the heart of Dantavakra, and you know, hundreds and hundreds of pieces. And Dantavakra, you know, he just he falls. He fell dead on the ground. And ultimately, this is what we should beg Krishna to do with the anger which we have. Please, please, I don't want to remain this. And anger, you know, this is a, I will tell a few more things about this and I finish very quickly. Anger is a very, I mean, it manifests in many different ways. We may be bitter, we may be, you know, distrustful. You know, there are so many negative feelings within our heart, and we have to understand that we may be revengeful. We still, you know, we still don't like what somebody did to us 20 years back, or we still keeping some ill feelings towards somebody who said something to us or who looked to us. You know, what do you mean by looking at me? And all these things. This is all Dantavakra within our heart. We are not happy.
we are not satisfied with what we have. Actually, there is no reason why we should not be happy, because Krishna is there, we are part and parcel of Krishna, Holy Name is there. By entering into real relationship with the Holy Name, we can become totally, completely, absolutely satisfied with not even a tinge of anger within our heart. You know, and so many people, so many devotees are angry, you know, and it's just, they just want to find some pretext why they're angry. And they always find it. He is wrong and she's wrong and everyone is wrong and there is only one who is right. But somehow or other, because they're all wrong, they don't recognize that, you know, I'm right and they're wrong, you know. And I'm the center of the universe and everyone has to know. All this kind of nonsense, rubbish within our heart, which we all have. And, you know, and it's not enough. Definitely we have to beg Krishna and pray to Krishna, please purify my heart from this totally, completely irrational emotions which will not make me happy, which may give me a little illusory satisfaction, you know, of being right, but ultimately will not make me happy. But there is something else which we also have to do, because we know that to get rid of the problems we need to perform sadhana. And sadhana means something which I have to do every day, conscientiously. If we want to get rid of anger, there is a procedure of what we should do. I at least something what I wanted to say a little bit, just a few words what we should do. We really have to show Krishna that we want to free ourselves from this problem. And as I said, the main manifestation of this problem, the problem of anger, is that we're angry of somebody else because, and it's closely connected with envy. We're envious of somebody and therefore we're angry at him or her or whatever. You know, we have some envy. So the cure from this disease, the disease of anger, which should be our daily sadhana, if we really want to enter into relationship with Krishna and see Krishna face to face, is the friendly relationship with others. When we are angry, there is no question of friendly relationship. We are, you know, we have these ill feelings dictated by envy and, you know, manifested as, you know, some sort of dissatisfaction with others. He is bad and she is bad and everyone is bad and, you know, and blah, 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 blah. You know, that the sadhana is something contrary to this. And if we really want to get rid of this problem of anger and really want to, you know, to fulfill this desire that Krishna would smash this lust demon within our heart, then the cure from this problem or this disease is the friendship. Is the benevolent attitude within our heart. I'm a friend of all these people, especially devotees. I want to serve them. I want to do something for them. They're not my enemies. It's only my anger and envy. This is my real enemies. And this anger and envy within my heart, they force me to see others not as friends, but as somebody whom I should somehow or other fight or, you know, be inimical or whatever, you know, and they are, you know, bad people and this and that. So what I want to say here by describing this pastime of killing Dantavakra is that if we really want to get rid of this problem which is manifested in the form of Dantavakra, the anger against God, the dissatisfaction of what God is doing with me, I have to practice as my sadhana this friendly relationship with all the people and specifically with the devotees. And Prabhupada said, and this is my last statement which I will do by finishing this class, is that our practice of this maitri, of this friendly relationship, when we understand that this that everyone is part and parcel of God and everyone is ultimately the servant of God, and even if they do something against me, they're only doing it because my karma has to come to me through somebody, and ultimately it's not a reason why I should not be friendly towards them. And Prabhupada said that our sadhana in this regard is sankirtana, book distribution. You know, when we go just like this in the street, we see other people and we always, you know, we always see them through the eyeglasses of envy. You know, who he thinks he is, you know, such an ugly fellow, or this guy is fat, oh my goodness, you know, how you can be fat, you know, he's probably not vegetarian, you know. and this and that, you know, this is all envy. You know, we see, we look down at people, and you know, these ill feelings, they manifest very automatically. But when we go and we know that we have to give them book, we really have to be friendly with them. We really have to practice this friendly attitude towards them. You know, my dear sir, you're very nice, you know, really nice. Why don't you take this book? Why don't you? Something like this. So Prabhupada, he made it our sadhana. Actually, this is a very powerful sadhana if we consider it. And he said that this is the manifestation of friendly relationship with Krishna. If we want to enter into friendly relationship with Krishna, this is the way when we are, you know, he said this sakya means preaching. When we are preaching the glory of our friend Krishna. Anyway, it's a little subtle point, but I wanted to make it, not without a reason, because somebody asked me to connect this Dantavakra story with Sankirtana, and I was really, it was not easy to connect. Because there is no direct connection between the two. But there is. We know that ultimately everything is connected in this world. So by being obedient servant of all these people who are directing me, I wanted to make this connection. And it's a fact. You know, if we go out and try to distribute books, the attitude which we develop and which we cultivate, the conscious cultivation of the attitude is the attitude of friendliness. You know, they're all nice people. They're ultimately nice. And by cultivating this attitude, we really see the real nature of these people, and we can finish with the dissatisfaction within our heart which is there. And everyone who distributed books knows that, you know, when he does this, some fullness, some fulfillment comes within the heart, and satisfaction comes within the heart, because Krishna is pleased with us.
Krishna is pleased with our attitude and with our endeavor to preach His glory. Anyway, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I don't know if there is a question.
Hare Krishna. Sometimes I'm hearing a devotee, I see it sometimes he's or she is sort of maybe making offense to another devotee or talking about them in a blasphemous way, and I find that I'm having anger coming up with that. It only comes out mildly to that person because I'm aware they're a devotee and it might come out like mildly, so there's still some respect there, but internally afterwards I feel pretty angry about it, and it can last a while. So is that destructive?
We have to feel anger. The anger has its place. You know, Narottam Das Thakur says that anger we have to direct against the enemies of Krishna. But, you know, it has to be directed against the disease, not the diseased person, but the disease itself, the disease. And by using it in a proper way, we can help this person. We may still be very friendly within towards this particular person, but at the same time manifest anger against his diseased condition, which manifests as blasphemy or insult or offenses against other devotees. Like recently I heard a lecture of Srila Radhanath Maharaj, where he explains that Prabhupada sometimes was very angry, and sometimes, oftentimes, and he would be very strong against, you know, against scientists and Darwin. He says, "I kick them in the foot," you know. This is not something really, you know, usually the friendliness is not manifest in kicking somebody on the boot. But Srila Radhanath Maharaj says, you know, he was protecting us from this misleading theory of Mr. Darwin, and he says, "I am sure Srila Prabhupada was praying for Mr. Darwin many, many nights in a row." And most probably Mr. Darwin didn't have the better well-wisher than Srila Prabhupada. So what I want to say is that you may remain the well-wisher of a particular person, but at the same time manifest your anger against his disease and try to help him to get rid of the disease. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Radha Londoneshwara ki jai, Jagadev Baladev Subhadrama ki jai.